Hi there, and thanks for joining us on this episode, the family furniture business turning 100, the global brand that's hiring 50, and the film festival that's drawing thousands. I'm Jonathan Healy, and this is Red Business.
Red Business, Cork's exclusive business podcast.
Now, Cork is home to a fair few European headquarters, but you might not be overly familiar with the brand we're going to talk about next. But they are here, they have the European headquarters here, and they are expanding. The company has a brilliant name. It's called Zazzle, and Sinead Barry is Director of Operations and Finance at Zazzle Ireland. Sinead, how are you?
I'm good, Jonathan. Thanks for having me on. Very excited to talk to you about Zazzle.
Yeah, now I have to say, I don't know much about the business, and that's my bad rather than yours. I do know you're located in a lovely building that used to be Guinness House.
That's correct. We're in a fantastic building here on Union Quay, looking out over the river. So we couldn't be in a better place. It's really nice over here.
Now, you're described as a people-powered design platform. What's that?
Yeah, that's it. That's us in a nutshell. I suppose what we are, to explain in a bit more detail, is we're, I suppose, what you call an ecosystem of consumers, designers, manufacturers, brands. And Zazzle is the place where all these people can come together and connect. We're more than an online marketplace. I suppose when you look at us first and you go on to Zazzle.com or Zazzle.co.uk, We look like an online marketplace. Yes, you can go there and you can buy products, but I suppose we're much more than that. We're a place where you can customize products, you can design and create your own products. And I suppose our mission is to create and make anything. So if you can imagine it, we want to make it for you.
Okay, that sounds like a personal challenge. But I mean, I go to the website and the first thing I'm greeted right now is Christmas. So you guys obviously have a decent lead in times, don't you?
Well, that's true. You have to plan, you know, fail to prepare and prepare to fail and all that. So at the moment, all we're talking about is Christmas, holiday season, holiday planning. And, you know, you can never start shopping too early. So, you know, get those stocking fillers now.
And you've got a lot of brands that have tied into this as well. I mean, big brands like the Disneys and the Marvels of this world. Like, how much can people do with their stuff? Because I'm guessing they're pretty specific on what you're allowed to do with them.
Well, that's right. We have specific licensing agreements with certain brands, like you mentioned, the Disney, the Marvels, the Sesame Streets. I suppose that the list goes on, and you can go on and you can pick one of those products, and depending on what our agreements are, you can add your name or maybe your team or your business name or things like that. So you can customize those products for your own personal needs.
Yeah, but I'm looking at it. It's brilliant. You've got birthday cards, or you've got T-shirts, or you've got loads of different things you can do that you can customize. I mean, I'm already in here now that I'm on the website. I'm going, okay, I'm going to definitely use this. But it's not just about birthday parties. Presumably, there's a big corporate sector that is always looking for that little bit of something different.
I suppose we mainly deal with individual consumers. And like you said, we have an endless list of products, mugs, T-shirts, invitations to anything like, I don't know, shower curtains, bath mats, clocks. I mean, I could be here all day if I tried to list out everything that you can possibly get on our website. But we do also have a deal with those businesses, and we have a dedicated business team here working out of our Cork office who kind of deal with all the business needs and our business customers, and they can offer specific deals and discounts. So that's all dealt with out of our Cork office here on Union Quay.
Okay, and you do face masks as well. That's obviously something you pivoted into quite quickly when the demand was there for it. Out of the 50 people you're looking to bring in, what kind of worker are you looking for?
Well, I suppose we've most recently hired two software engineers, so we're very excited to get teammates in that space into the Cork office here. That they'll be our first two engineers based out of Cork. And of course, we'll be looking to grow and expand that team over the coming years. We're also at the moment actively recruiting for a senior product manager, we're looking for talent in the area of technical marketing. You're talking your SEO, your SEM spaces. Ideally, we would be looking to hire teammates with a background in e-commerce. And of course, we're continuing to grow and expand our existing team. So our data team is primarily based here in Cork. International marketing, we have a finance team, we have a HR team. And of course, not to forget the 100 or so seasonal customer care agents that we're currently recruiting for as well. So it's a very busy time for our recruitment team here, as you can imagine. Busy, but very exciting. And, you know, that this growth, there's going to be a lot of opportunities that okay. come with it.
Can I ask why Cork? Why did Zazzle choose here when I think it's 2013 that they first decided to set up shop here? Was there a particular reason why they came and more importantly, why they stayed?
I suppose, yeah, we have been here since 2013. Possibly we've been flying under the radar a little bit before this big jobs announcement. We've been operating out of Cork for the past 8 years, and we have grown and expanded a lot since then. We started off with 30 employees over in the Elysian building before moving into our current location, as we mentioned, on Union Quay. And the reason why Cork, I suppose, you know, we have two universities here. It's a hotspot for talent. The people we want, they're here in Cork. It's Cork City, it's multicultural, it's inclusive, it's diverse. I mean, we have teammates from all different types of backgrounds with different languages, which of course is very important for us, especially in our customer care space and our international marketing space. We have 16 domains in different countries, so we really need to take advantage of those people who have a second or even a third language. And we can find all that here, right here in Cork.
Okay, well, the obvious question in Cork is, why not Cork? Surely it's the most obvious place in the world. Look, you are hiring those people right now. If people are interested in perhaps joining, where can they find out more about the types of jobs on offer?
You can find it all on our careers page on the Zazzle.com website. So if you just go straight to Zazzle.com and you can click on the careers link there, you'll find details of all the jobs we're currently hiring for.
Okay, you'd get lost in the website for hours. I'm scrolling through T-shirts right now. There's really is loads there. So congrats on the expansion and best luck in the future. Sinead Barry, Director of Operations and Finance at Zazzle Ireland on Union Quay. Thanks so much for joining us.
That's great. Thanks, Jonathan.
Red Business. All that's best about business in Cork.
One of Cork's best known and largest furniture retailers is celebrating 100 years in business this year. Casey's Furniture. You know the ads, you know the stores, and no doubt you might have one or two pieces in your house that originated in Casey's. The family name lives on. David Casey is with me to talk about the centenary. David, how are you?
I'm very good, Jonathan. Very good. And yourself?
I'm very good. What generation are you, David?
I'm third.
Third generation. So tell us about the origin of the business. Who set it up?
Okay, so my grandparents, John and Francis Casey, they set it up in 1921. And then my father and his brother, my father Jim Casey and his brother Brian Casey, they then took over the mantle. And then myself and my brother Peter, we've been running it for about 30 years now at this stage.
Okay, and people will be familiar with the shop on Oliver Plunkett Street. That was that always headquarters, or was headquarters somewhere else originally?
Where we originally started out on is in Marlborough Street, where Tony's Fine Clothing was, or is, should I say. And we moved to this building in 1926. And we've been here ever since. An interesting thing is the actual frontage on Oliver Plunkett Street is the exact same. We have never touched it, bar replace one bit of stained glass on the top part of the building, which is a small 3 or 4 inches. But everything else is the same. It's right. Incredible how long a shop frontage can last.
So you're third generation, as is your brother. Yep. What's your earliest recollection of the business? Can you remember going to the store or being in the store and something striking you, or was it just always part of your life?
I suppose it's always been part of our life, but what my earliest memory would be, you know, I'm from a family of six children, and my dad would have been a very hard worker. He, you know, he worked an awful lot, but every Christmas Eve, we were brought to town. And sometimes a Larry might collect us, or my grandparents might drop us in, and we'd come into shop. We'd go down to Cash's, our Roach store, to see Santa. We'd go back up and we'd stop in Farmgate to get some cakes and minerals. And then our dad would invariably allow us to run wild for an hour in the shop. So that's my earliest memory, just jumping on couches. And, you know, years ago, rolls of carpet used to be in the shop hanging up. So you'd be pulling them, and we used to dement the guys who used to work here. But that's my earliest memory. But, you know, like any family business, we all started working here when we were probably about 12, 13, just doing odd jobs and hoovering. And, you know, I suppose as we got stronger, we then went on to the Lowry's. And, you know, that's the nature of a family business. You get stuck in.
And there was nothing that was ever beneath you. You did a little bit of everything, I'm presuming.
Yeah, I know. My father, you know, would have trained both of us in our early days, as he would have trained my brothers and sisters. And his motto was, if you're not prepared to do it yourself, don't ask anyone else to do it. So, no, there was no special treatment here.
Yeah, okay. And it didn't do you any harm. The business, though, has changed, and it changed so dramatically, even in the last 18 months. You guys were already online, weren't you? And how well set up were you for the chaos of the pandemic?
We were reasonably well set up, but, you know, when the pandemic came, it certainly focused our minds, and we had to double and triple our effort. But unfortunately, it worked out for us. We have a very strong online presence, which is getting stronger and stronger. And our online presence serves the whole of Ireland, just not Cork. So, you know, we get a lot of customers from, you know, Donegal to Dublin, you name it. We've been in every county. So our online presence was hugely important. Now, in saying that, since we've opened, there is a very strong feeling from our customer that they do like to come into the shop. They do like to sit on the couch. They do like to feel the fabric. So it's a bit of both. It's a blended offer, where before it was just purely bricks and mortar.
And I've talked about this before. I'm very much a tactile shopper. I like to see and feel something. Now, sometimes I feel the price labels at your place, and I am genuinely, I need to sit down after looking at them. But you've got a good mix in terms of high-end, mid-end, and affordable, if I could put it that way.
Look, our customer comes, as I said, from far and wide, and we feel we have something for everybody. One of the slogans we used before is beautiful pieces at affordable prices. And, you know, we have couches ranging from $799 all the way up. And I think we've something for everybody. And whether you want to come in and buy a bed, you know, we've a vast range of mattresses in all different prices and suit all different people. And sometimes the most expensive isn't necessarily the best for the customer. So, you know, everyone has different requirements and different needs. And, you know, but the most important thing is quality. You know, you just can't, you can't replace quality.
What do you think, John Casey, would make of the IKEAs of this world? Not to denigrate another brand, because they have their place in the market, but the idea that even if you buy a table and chairs, that it all arrives in a flat pack and you have to assemble it yourself. I doubt he would have been rushing to embrace that particular end of the market, would he?
No. We've always kind of prided ourselves on, you know, going that extra mile, adding, you know, the extra bit of service, but most importantly, the quality. So, you know, when you get something from Casey's, our delivery guys will arrive in our green lorry, and we'll put it into the room of your choice. We will unpack it, and we will assemble it. And that's very important for us. And what they do, they are extremely successful, and best of luck to them. But, you know, we do what we do, and, you know, it's important that you keep to your core values, and our core values is quality.
100 years ago, Cork was emerging out of a crisis. The city centre just burnt down, and you took the opportunity to open that shop. There's not a great link between what happened back then and what happened now, but it is an economic crisis from which we are emerging. How confident are you about the future?
It's not going to be without its challenges, and I think people will see that this Christmas with lots of things where, you know, supply is going to be an issue, not just in furniture, I think just right across the spectrum of retail. But you know, I think if businesses keep their core value, you know, work hard, I think we'll get through this like we've got through lots of other problems over the last 30, 40 years. So, we'll be confident.
And is there another generation of Caseys who are let loose on a Christmas Eve?
Not quite, but, you know, who knows? But my brother and I have children, and let's see. But, you know, that's something that I would never, on a personal level, force, because this isn't for everyone. You have to be very passionate about this. And if you don't come in and not 100% committed, this wouldn't be for you. So, you know, hopefully they will, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I'm guessing they still would love to jump around on Christmas Eve, though, if they were given half an opportunity to do it. That almost sounded like great crack.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was great crack, to be fair. And we did. We had a colleague of ours. We made a small presentation there the other day. William Scannell, who's worked in Caseys for over 50 years, and he was telling me, you know, he remembers it, and he remembers it very well, that we used to torture them.
I can only imagine what it must be like. I know when I bring my kids into a furniture shop, I'm just like, I'm herding cats, just hoping, the fear that they'd break something. It's easier when you own the shop. David, we wish you and Peter all the very best in all the cases as you celebrate this centenary. And I look forward to the return of the Christmas window this year.
And actually, this year's one is going to be very special. So keep an eye out for it.
Will do. David, thanks so much for joining us in Red Business.
No problem. Thanks very much, Jonathan.
Red Business, Cork's exclusive business podcast.
This weekend sees the return of the Indie Cork Festival, which brings an exciting range of independent movies to Cork audiences online and, very excitingly, in person this year at the Gate Cinema in the city. Of course, it has been a bit of a luxury being able to go to the cinema in recent months, and we thought we'd never be without. Mick Hannigan is co-director at Indie Cork. He's also got a new business, Green Ray Film Agency, which we'll talk about in a minute. Mick, how are you?
I'm very good. Rather excited. The confirmations of various guests are coming in. Sales are good. Sales are very good. Advance sales. So there's a bit of excitement about the festival, and I can't wait, to be honest, to be back in the cinema, seeing new films on the big screen, meeting the filmmakers. It's quite a special dynamic.
You've been involved with Indie Cork for how many years at this point?
This is the 9th edition of Indie Cork. Time flies. We felt that there was a need for a festival to champion independent cinema, to encourage young and emerging filmmakers. And it took off. It took off from the get-go. And so we've been building steadily year on year. So it's quite a big festival now.
What is the best film? I know it's a very hard question to ask somebody. It's like picking a favourite child. But what's the one you're looking forward to seeing most at Indie Cork this year?
Well, I'll tell you, Jonathan, it is difficult because one likes them all, but there's a very special filmmaker coming to us from the United States, Bill Morrison. My colleague on Indie Cork, Una Feely, brought him to Cork many years ago to do a retrospective of his work. And he has privileged us with two new films. His feature film is in advance of its American screening. It's going to be released in New York later in September. And it's a real privilege for us to be able to screen his film and to welcome him to Cork. He's a really special artist. His films play all across the world. A very renowned filmmaker and a very respected filmmaker. So he's doing us a great honor, really, paid us a great tribute in coming from New York to present The Village Detective next Tuesday.
I have to say, going back to the cinema has been a brilliant experience. I'd forgotten how much I'd missed it. Yes, I'd watched lots of films. I've watched lots of good telly, some terrible stuff as well. But just being back in that environment, as you will be in the Gate Cinema, it's something special, isn't it?
Well, for me, Jonathan, it's not just seeing the film on the big screen, but presenting new films to Cork audiences and having the filmmakers there to get up in front of the audience, introduce the filmmaker, screen the film, a bit of a question and answer afterwards, or go for a coffee or a beer. you know, it's that particular dynamic that makes a festival. It's that mixture of film and audience and filmmakers.
Funny enough, lockdown suited a lot of filmmakers, didn't it? Because it gave them time to produce things. And there was a lot of innovation when people couldn't do much else. Has that come through in the applications this year for people to be part of IndieCork?
Absolutely, Jonathan. You've hit the nail on the head there. My concern was that with restrictions, that production levels would go down, that people wouldn't be able to make films. The reverse has been the case. We've received from Irish filmmakers, I'd say there's been a 50% increase in Irish entries to the festival. So there's, during lockdown, there's been a great period of creativity, people expressing themselves through films, and the innovation that comes from the restrictions of not having a big camera crew and a big set, etc. So I think people will be very pleasantly surprised, we certainly were, at the quality of the work and the sheer numbers of films submitted.
Tell me a little bit about Green Ray Film Agency. I mean, you launched it in July last year at the Galway Film Flat. What are yourself and Una, who's your business partner, hoping to achieve?
We felt that there was a need, Jonathan, to do more than simply screen films for Irish audiences. Filmmakers would come up to us after the festival and say, what else should I do? What other festival should I go to? And it is bewildering for a filmmaker. There are thousands of festivals out there. I think there are around 40 in Ireland alone. Small festivals, larger festivals. So there's a bewildering array of festivals which can be daunting for filmmakers. Una and I, fortunately, we have experience of the festival world. We've visited many festivals. We've been on international juries and so forth. So we have contacts and expertise and an understanding of how the festival system works. So those are the services that we're making available to filmmakers.
Because I mean, the one thing that people will always be concerned about if they're taking part in something like this, but somehow they lose their shirt or it won't be profitable. You do need to turn a profit, but you need to make it affordable so that film fans can use it. It's a very tight balance, I'd imagine.
We're largely dealing with young and emerging filmmakers at the moment, handling their films, getting them into festivals and selling them. We sold three films to RTE recently. They've been broadcast on RTE's short screen programme. We sold a couple of films to Aer Lingus. So it is possible to monetize your film, to use the jargon, and to bring back some income. But also a short film is an opportunity to establish yourself as a filmmaker, to build a reputation, to make a name for yourself. And the way to do that is to get your films out to festivals. And that's where Green Ray comes in, because we do festival strategies for each of our clients. We submit their films. We send follow-up emails, phone calls, etc., using our contacts in the festival world to gain a wider audience for the filmmaker.
Well, IndieCork is the one that the big focus is on right now. If you're interested in having a look at what films are on display and available to either download or go and see in a real cinema, IndieCork, IndieCork.com is the website address. And it's running from September 19th to 26th at the Gate Cinema and September 19th to October, a couple of extra days if you want to take part in IndieCork online. Mick, we wish you and everyone involved the best of luck. Mick Hannigan of IndieCork and indeed of Green Ray Film Agency, thank you so much for joining us on Red Business.
Thank you, Jonathan.
My thanks, as always, to all of my guests. Don't forget, every episode is uploaded right now to redextra.ie. Kara McDonough was the producer, and we'll catch you on the
Red Business. All that's best about business in Cork.